Chalikanes ulishtamer uliskayim b'selfo tfuas ha-Torah. Kefi asher yachziko tzara. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner up until now has said that people have made a terrible mistake. They've made Torah into a spiritual endeavor. I know we're saying in a very radical way, but those who've been here before I think know what I mean. And that is that their learning of Torah has become one where they focus on having a feeling of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that that's not the goal of Talmud Torah. And he has pointed out that the learning of Yirat Shamayim and Mussar that creates that sense of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the goal of Talmud Torah. Thank you very much. That's not the goal of Talmud Torah. So then what's the role of Yirat Shamayim? And what's its relationship to Talmud Torah? So if Torah Lishma, as we spoke about last time, means Torah for the sake of Torah, and we only began to understand why that's not circular, to learn Torah for the sake of Torah, so to know Torah, to learn Torah for the sake of Torah, and that we are putting on a side, because we will, in another couple of months, understand that a lot more. But it's not the goal of Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah L'Shem Torah is something else. So then what is the role of Yirat Shamayim? Isn't Yirat Shamayim all about learning the words of Torah to become Daveik HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says no. He says that when it comes to Yirat Shamayim is a separate thing from Torah. Yirat Shamayim is about a sense of awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us at every moment. Yirat Shamayim is a fear of Aveira. But all of those things, paradoxically, are going to affect our Talmud Torah, even though it itself is not Talmud Torah. So Yirat Shamayim is not Talmud Torah. The goal of Talmud Torah is not Yirat Shamayim. It's a different goal. But at the same time, the entire quality of our Torah, Ulufi Erech Godel Otzer Ayira Sheichin Lo Adam, that is going to affect entirely the quality of our Torah. Why? Ki Ha'av HaMechalek Tvua Levanav. When a father who wants to give his child as much grain as possible gives him grain, Hu Mechalek V'Noisna Kol Echon Midas HaTvua V'Asher Yachzik Oitzore Shel Aben Asher Heichin Al Zem Ikoidim. When a father gives grain to his kids, so he gives them as much as he can. But he can't give them just grain. He's going to have to give them other things that are of much less quality. A father could only give to his son that which the son can hold. And if he doesn't have a large storage house, a large storage area, so Reb Chaim Volozhiner has a very, very important metaphor. His metaphor is that Torah is wheat. It's the wheat that we receive. Yirat Shamayim is not Torah. But the Yirat Shamayim is what holds the wheat. It's the storage area that holds it. Do you mind just closing the door? Thank you very much. It's what holds the wheat. And since it holds the wheat, so then the quality of our Torah is going to be entirely dependent on the Yirat Shamayim. And how much Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is going to be entirely dependent on the kli that we have created to be able to hold that Torah. Now, of course, myself included, when we went through high school, we thought that the guys who had the most Torah were the guys who were the smartest, who were able to remember the most, who were able to understand the most. And of course, what emerges from Chaim Volozhiner is that, no. That's not called holding Torah. Being able to memorize it on the test and be able to get 100 on the test, that's not called Torah. Torah is going to be something entirely different. And time and time and time again, I have seen. And when my Rabbein told this to me when I was 20 years old, I can't say that I cannot say that I didn't believe them. But I think it was more words than really penetrated. So if you don't internalize what I'm about to say right now entirely, I forgive you because I myself didn't entirely internalize it, but I think many of you will when you're 35 years old. And that is, at the end of the day, the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, the people who become the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, are not the individuals who are the smartest or have the greatest memories. It's the individuals who have the kli that's able to hold the Torah. And that Rav Chaim Volozhiner teaches us over here. There are many parts of the kli, but here he's focusing on in Shar Dal Perikei is your Shemayim. By the way, this comes up also in very, very practical terms. We're learning Nefesh HaChaim, and we're trying to understand Rav Chaim Volozhiner's definition of Torah Lishma and so on. But this comes up in very, very practical terms also in terms of how you look at your learning. There are some guys. Was Rav Schechter here yet? He just came to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be here shortly. Sunday. So there's some guys that, you know, they hear Rav Schechter and it's only natural to want to be Rav Schechter, and you should be. You should have that she'ifa. But the question is, first of all, you never want to be that person or like that person. You want to be inspired by that person, by the good things about them, and find a way that you could accomplish yourself things that are similar to that person has accomplished. But sometimes I sense that there is a tremendous, I call it a Yetzer Hara for guys to be like that when they're 25. This impossible dream to know Shas by 25. You might finish Shas, that would be amazing. You might not, and that will also be amazing. But I think sometimes when you see someone who has a tremendous memory of Torah, a tremendous Torah bank of knowledge, then there is a tremendous pressure that's put on the boys to be like that at a young age. And in general, young men have a tendency to look at their life in very, very short spurts. The goal of your learning now is not how much you're going to know when you get married. Everybody thinks about the siyum that they're going to make at their chasam stish. The goal is what type of Talmud Chacham you're going to be when you're 25 years old. 45 years old, excuse me. Not when you're 25 years old. It's not at the chasam stish. It's what are you going to be when you're 45 years old? That's the question. And the same mistake that people make, and they say, wow, they think, when we're in high school, we think the guys who are best in learning are the guys who are smartest and the guys who have the best memory, and those are the guys who are going to be the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. Time and time and time again, I've seen that it's not those fellows who become the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. To become a big Talmud Chacham, you don't have to be very smart. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give you intelligence, no question. But you need, the most important pieces are Yirat Shamayim, Hasmada, and one last part that Rav Chaim Volozhiner doesn't talk about here, and that is Midos Tovos. To be able to hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, Midos Ros are the antithesis. We spoke about in Musar a couple weeks ago that the Midah of Kas, the Ramban describes the Midah of Gehenim. Someone who is supporting his Torah with the Midah of Gehenim, there's no way that Torah is going to last. No way that Torah is going to last. So that's what Reb Chaim Volozhin reminds all of us over here, in terms of putting into priority, you know, what it is that, what it takes to become a Talmud Chacham. On the one hand, what Reb Chaim Volozhin did, and he saved the world of Torah, he said people thought that becoming a Talmud Chacham just meant feeling spiritual and close to God and so on and so forth. No, it's the desire to know more and more and more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's exactly what it is. The desire to know more and more and more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But at the same time, the otsar that's holding it, one of those most important factors is Yiras Shamayim. Paragraph number 3. Kein hu yisbarach shemo. If you don't have a Nefesh HaChaim, try to sit down next to somebody who has one. Kein hu yisbarach shemo yado psucha kaviyachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his hand is open, and he wants to give much Chachma and Bina Yisera. The Chachma and Bina Yisera you got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not your IQ. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be giving you more and more Chachma and Bina, dependent on how you've prepared your Otzer Ayira. V'shetiskayim etzlam, v'yikashrim aluach libam, v'shtashteya itam, b'vom la'olam amnucha v'talmudam b'yadam. Omnam adover talui, v'fi Otzer Ayira shetiktam ela adam, shim heichen lo ha'adam Otzer godol shiyir Hashem tahora. If a person prepared himself with a large storage area of Yir Hashemayim, depending on the quality of the kli that you're creating, so too the Torah will last. Therefore, stopping to learn Musar is not only affecting the type of person you are, but it's also affecting the type of Torah you're going to hold on to. Because depending on your Yiras Shamayim is going to affect the amount of Torah that you have. And similarly, and this I think is harder for guys to internalize, but this is really, really important. I just want to add, when it comes to working on one's midos, there isn't a single person here, myself included, that's mushlam b'midos. That our character traits, every single one of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a very unique set of character traits. Kishem sheparzufein shonos kachte oseon shonos. Just like every face is different, so too people's way of thinking, and I think that also refers to their personality, is going to be different. And that means that there are certain things that are become strengths and weaknesses of ours. For example, someone who by nature is very, very passionate and very, very strong-minded. So that's a fantastic thing that drives them to accomplish dreams and to do things and to experience things and so on. But those same type of people have a midah to work on, and that is not to be impulsive. There are some people, because they're always driven, and that's an avoda. Not to be impulsive, to be reflective. And on the other extreme, you have someone who by nature is very, very reflective. So that's a beautiful midah. They're very contemplative. They're profound. On the other hand, then the other direction, then they have a tendency to be passive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created us with midos, every single one of those midos could be used in many, many different directions. And therefore, I believe that during this time in yeshiva, not only by working on one's Yiras Shamayim does that affect the nature of one's Talmud Torah, the same is going to be in regards to understanding yourself and working on yourself. Because the more profound understanding you have of yourself, the more profound understanding you have of your own midos and your own challenges, is going to better help affect you in a positive way in dealing with those midos, so that those midos do not become negative, and ultimately that's going to affect your ability to hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So Rabbosai, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he was the founder of Yeshiva Tar Vadas. He used to say, always say, he said in Yiddish, he used to say, Bachram, I beg you, make the most of the time. These are, I'm sure you've heard this from many, I'm not going to dwell on it, but at the end of the day, now is a time, but it's not only a time to get as many dapim in, which is extremely, extremely important, but it's also important to make the most of the time that your Torah is going to last in terms of your Yerushimayim and your Midos. My first year, I had a student that I was teaching who all he wanted to do was learn. And the Rosh Hashiva called him out on a couple of midos, and he didn't work on it on those midos. And his marriage didn't end up very, very well at all. And I have to say that I wasn't experiencing chinuch at the time. And I was young, and I was a little taken aback that the Rosh Hashiva was hounding him about working on this mida, and it turned out that mida that he wasn't working on affected his marriage, and he got divorced as a young father. What's at play is everything in your life when it comes to your Shemayim and midas. And what a person works on, you'll see tremendous, tremendous fruits from that labor. And chas v'chalila, those things that are, for whatever reason, too painful to address, or you're too lazy to address, or, and this is the scariest part, you're too frum to address, so then that chas v'chalila could raise its head in the very, very complicated ways later on in one's life. And I believe Reb Chaim Volozhiner is alluding to all this over here. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is alluding to this when he says that the quality of your Torah is going to be directly affected by the Yerushalayim that you prepare to hold that Torah. Vim lo hechen, let's continue on. Vim lo hechen adam af otzer katan she'em bo yiras ha'yisparach klal chas v'chalila. And if he doesn't prepare any area of Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to prepare for him any chachma at all. Achar shelo tiskai metzlov, ki toraso nemesas chas v'chalila, kamo shamru chazal. What's going to happen is his Torah is going to become mo'us. It's going to become disgusting. Val ze omar akosav reishis chachma yuris Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. Reishis chachma yuris Hashem. The first thing we say in the morning. That the precondition to Chachma is Yerushalayim. As we've emphasized historically, Reb Chaim Volozhiner quotes Zohars to show that he's just in tune with the Zohar as those Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tovs. So let's see this Zohar. We're going to read it in the Hebrew. Rabbi Chiya Pasach, Reish is Chachma Yerus Hashem, Mikrozeh Kacha Yitzarech Lomar. The pasuk says the beginning of Chachma is Yiras Hashem. So the Zohar asks, why does it say Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem? It should say Self Chachma Yiras Hashem. Any suggestion? What's the kasha of the Zohar? The Zohar says, why do we say Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem? The beginning of Chachma is Yiras Hashem. Should say Self Chachma. Okay, I'm not sure why it says yet Reishis, but the premise of the Zohar is it should say Self Chachma Yiras Hashem. Why should it say Sof Chachma Yiras Hashem? Yeah?
If it leads to Yiras Hashem,
then it's going to be Sof Chachma. Okay. And it's also a pasuk. How does the end of Koheles conclude? Sof Davar HaKol Nishma Eso Kim Yirav Es Mitzvosav Shemar Kizeh Kol HaAdam. So, it's Mamish Sof Chachma. The Sof of all of the Chachma of Koheles concludes that it's, at the end of the day, after you delve everything in life, you realize that the only thing that's left in life is Yerushalayim. So that the kasha of the Zohar is, so why do we say Reishis Chachma, not Sof Chachma? Elohi Reishis Li'ikanes, the answer, the Zohar says, based on the above, is obvious. Elohi Reishis Li'ikanes Utof Madregas HaChachma El Yona. It is the first step in getting into Chachma. Shar Rishon L'Chachma El Yona, Hi Yiras Hashem. So working on one's Yiras Hashem is absolutely, absolutely critical. Haremivur. Shahagam shahayira hi mitzvah achas. Even though it says that yira is one mitzvah, va'amru b'yushalmi shekol ha-mitzvos eino shavas l'davar echad min ha-Torah, that all of the mitzvos are not equal to Talmud Torah. In other words, Rav Chaim V'lozhin is now bothered, but wait a second, don't we have a rule? And that is that Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, and Yerushalayim is one of the 613 mitzvos. In other words, that Talmud Torah is more chashuv than any other mitzvah. He says, that's true. Amnam mitzvahs knias hayira mimeni yisbarach rabihim ma'od, mitzad shim muchrachas le'ikur hakiyum v'shimar ha-Torah ha-Kadosha, u'bilta gam nim eses chas v'chalila b'eini ha-Brios, v'chein tzricha she'tikdam etzal adam kodem esek ha-Torah. So, Yerushalayim is that absolute prerequisite. Let's go on to Perek Vav. Here, Reb Chaim V'lozhin takes this idea and he makes it very practical. Perek Vav. Lozel ha'emes, shezu hi derech ha'amit yasher bazeh bachar hu yisbar shemay. Shebechol eis, sheyachin ha'adam atzmai lomay. When a person prepares himself to learn, now you understand the omek of Musar Seder before morning Seder, before Gemara Seder. It's not just a coincidence that one has Musar Seder before, because that's the right slot that people are still eating their cereal, not ready for five different svarim. You know, one, you know, a small Feldheim, a Silsi Sharm fits nicely with the yogurt and the cereal. It fits just perfect. So, no, that's not the reason. The reason for it is because when it comes to Musar, that 15 minutes, that 10-15 minutes, creates the framework where an individual remembers a few things that are absolutely necessary before entering into the portal of Torah. Again, Reb Chaim V'lozhin's chiddush is that this is not called Talmud Torah. This is called something else. This is called learning and dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it is going to be the kli that's going to hold all of one's Torah. And therefore he says, Ro'i lo l'isyashev kodem shiyaschil al kolpan mizman mu'at, that before a person begins, he should sit for a short moment and think, b'yiras Hashem tahayra b'taharas halev. Spend a little bit of time thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a pure heart. Look at this. This is not so convenient over to doing over cereal and yogurt. He says, l'hisvados al chatoso me'omko deliba, and also to do vidui on one's sins from the depth of one's heart. So this is pretty intense. This is not just, you know, seeing a nice art scroll story. Kidei shetia toraso kedosho Torah, in order that his Torah should be holy and pure. V'yichavein lehistabek bilimudo bo batorah bo bakodesh baruch hu, and he should have kavana that with his learning, that he should be dovek in the Torah and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the segue, which I don't want to focus on right now, where Reb Chaim V'lozhin is going to finally begin to answer the question, how is Torah learning spiritual if learning Torah is for the sake of Torah, and it's important to learn Torah because we know that Torah is important, so we learn Torah for the sake of Torah, etc., etc., and it just becomes at first glance, a circle that doesn't have any clear meaning. So Reb Chaim V'lozhin is about to explain how Talmud Torah, L'shem Torah, is going to bring us to a place of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the feeling of Dveikus. Here he alludes to it when he says, B'lima boba Torah, bo ba HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before we go on, just to explain and focus a little bit more, I think that we as people in general, well, you know, let's start this way. Once upon a time, when people thought of giving over messages to people, when I was your age, you gave a shiur for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. Things have entirely changed, right? Now the most important shiur is a meaningful minute. One of the most important things that I did in my Harbatzas Torah was when I immediately saw that Rav Leibowitz's shlita, his temid and halachas were so successful. So I asked him, Rishus, if I could do 10-minute musar. He said, I don't own the name 10-minute. He said, of course. That 10-minute musar shiur had originally been an hour shiur, 40 minutes of parsha, and 20 minutes of musar. That shiur stopped. There are other shiur in Baruch Hashem, but that shiur stopped. And I took that shiur and I made it 10 minutes of musar. The world has, in general, shrunk the kamus of Torah to a much smaller scale. In general, it's a tragic thing. It's a reality. It's a reality of listening on the go and so on and so forth. Of course, you've heard from others how the world has changed in the entertainment world. If you take a look at movies from 50, 60 years ago, the angle of the camera changes every minute or so. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the angle shot changes every second or two. People's patience have entirely eroded. So in general, it's a terrible, terrible thing, because the more Torah you get, and the more focus you get, and the more hasmada you get, the bigger Talmud Chacham you're going to become. On the other hand, we have to reach the Hamonam. So that's where the balance, you have this balance of how do you deal with Kamos versus Echos and so on. In general, it's a really, really bad thing. But there's one positive thing that's come out of this, in my opinion. And that is that we can now appreciate much more that Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying that 2, 3, 5 minutes, how valuable that could be. I think when I was a kid, people didn't appreciate it as much as they do now. 2, 3, 5 minutes could be an eternity of time if a person uses those few minutes right. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying that the 5 minutes that you have before you begin an intense Seder of Gemara, those 5, 10 minutes could entirely reframe that Iyun experience, in the sense that the Iyun experience is going to have the appropriate Otzer Hayira to hold one's Torah. That's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is emphasizing over here. Let's continue on, drop more. And because I said to you, I don't want to leave us hanging, how he begins to develop Dveikus in Torah as Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we finished the primary topic of today. And the primary topic of today is the centrality of Yerushalayim in terms of the role of holding on to Torah. And now Reb Chaim Volozhiner circles back to what he's been discussing Biklali up until now. And that is the definition of Torah Lishma. And he says, V'yichavein, again, back into... Let's start from the top, so we make sure you get the flow over here. The top of Perek Vav. L'zos ha'emes, shezui ha'derech ha'miti asher bazeh b'chor hu yisbaruch ishmoi, shebechol ei shiyachin ha'odam atzma l'omod, roi lo l'yisiyashiv kodem shiyasna al-kopon b'zman muad, b'yiris Hashem Torah b'toras ha'lev. A person should spend some time working on Taras ha'lev, l'zvades al-chatasal me'om kodoliba, k'deish te'atora k'dosha t'ohora. And here, Reb Chaim Volozhiner begins to explain what the kavana of Talmud Torah, L'shem Torah, means. V'yichavein lehistabek bilibuda boba Torah boba HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have intention to be davek with one's limra Torah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu lehistabek b'chol kolchosav. What are we doing when we're being davek in Torah? we become davek with all of our koach lidvar Hashem zu halacha. We finally now begin to understand how Torah itself creates dveikus, even though it's not at all about the emotional expression of dveikus. Rather, what is it? A person becomes dveik to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, he and the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu become one because he desires to understand the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we're going to see is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's no way you and I can understand God. No way. It's definitional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and we're finite. Something that's finite can't fathom something that's infinite. We have no frame of reference. All of our frames of reference that we have as finite beings are faulty, by definition faulty. So Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to go on to argue in the next few weeks, we're going to wrap up now, Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to go on to argue that there's no way that we could comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu or be dovek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a being at all. Nor can we even comprehend Kodesh Baruch Hu, except through one way. And that is by being connected to his davar, his word. Back inside. L'izdabek b'chol k'choysev l'dvar Hashem zu halacha, u'bazehu davek yipo yisbar mamish kaviyachol. And here he introduces one of the most famous Zohars that becomes the portal for our next few weeks. Ki hu yisparach uritzon ochad. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his ratzon are one. Mirtz Hashem, we're going to pick up with this b'siyata d'shmaya next time. Okay, I want to share with you something quite different in the next few minutes that we have that I normally do. I'm going to start off with a halacha topic, and share with you something that is a mesorah that I have, and that I want to use that explain this beautiful, beautiful yisod in terms of avodas Hashem, in terms of tefillah. In America, they also just began saying the same Talamato Levracha. So for 2 minutes, I just want to review some halachos of the same Talamato Levracha, not for the sake of doing halacha now, but to drive at something really, really exciting. If a person forgot to say the same Talamato Levracha, and they remember in the middle of the Bakashos, before Shema Koleinu, so the Gemara tells us in Brachos on the Chav Tesam Abeis that you insert the same Talamata or the Bracha in the Bracha of Shomea Tfila. If a person finishes Monastery and they realize that they only said the same Bracha, so then the halacha is that they'll go back and they'll repeat Monastery entirely because they already finished Monastery. If they're already past Shema Koleinu. Oh, by the way, why would you insert in Shema Koleinu and everything be fine? The reason for that is when it comes to the bracha of Shema Koleinu, you could add anything you'd like in Shema Koleinu. Shema Koleinu is a time for bakashos in general. So, if you say in Shema Koleinu, if you say Baruch Koleinu there, you make more precisely... You had said the same bracha in Baruch Leinu incorrectly, and then you say the same Talamata, then that's enough. What happens if you remember after the bracha of Modim? If after the bracha of Modim you remember that you didn't say the same Talamata Levracha, so here we have a machlokas between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Bavli says that you go back to the bracha of Baruch Leinu. In other words, you return there, and then you say Baruch Aleinu with the same Talamata Levracha. And the Yerushalmi says that you just go back to the bracha of Shema Kolenu. We paskin that you go back to the bracha of Baruch Olenu. At first glance, the Bavli makes a lot of sense that the Yerushalmi requires explanation. Why would we say that if you are going back anyhow, you should go back to the appropriate bracha? You should go back to the bracha of Baruch Olenu. Why is it that you go back only to Shema Kolenu? So here's the part that I told you about that I think is very, very exciting. This is, I think, worth $1 million. I'm going to tell you what Rav Palm told me to explain this position in Yerushalmi that he heard from Rav Huttner, who heard from Rav Chaim. So what are you now? You're fifth generation, straight from Rav Chaim. We know exactly how. Okay, you ready? Listen to this I'm going to say Rav Chaim's exact words. Rav Chaim explained, and this is going to segue into the short mussar for today. Rav Chaim explained that the bracha of Shema Kolenu is a different bracha than every other bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. And here's Reb Chaim's words. Reb Chaim said, Shema Kolenu is kolel kol habrachos. In other words, first to explain the Yerushalmi, Shema Kolenu, Reb Chaim said, according to the Yerushalmi, is not that you simply have a place that you can make up the tefillah that you missed, but rather, Shema Kolenu is the ideal form of all brachas. It's kolel kol habrachas. In other words, Shema Kolenu is the bracha of Atachone La'odam Das. It's the bracha of Slach Lanu Avinu Kifatanu. It's the bracha of Hashiveinu. It's all of the brachos. In a repeat of one bracha called Shema Kolenu. It's kolel kol habrachos. That's how Reb Chaim taught us. What does Reb Chaim mean? So again, in Pshat, he's saying that you don't have to go back to Baruch Kolenu. Because Shema Kolenu is not the place of Tashlumin, but rather Shema Kolenu itself is the embodiment of all of those brachos. While the Bavli, the way we pass in Lalacha, it holds that Shema Kolenu is a place where we make up what we missed. It's the bracha of Tashlumin. It's the bracha of Tashlumin. The Chura, that's how we always understood it. Shema Kolenu is a bracha in of itself, and it's a place that you can make up anything you missed. So therefore, if you're going back, you would go back to the bracha of Baruch Olenu. But the Yerushalmi holds not that way. The Yerushalmi holds that Shema Kolenu is kolel kol habrachos, and therefore, it's the ideal place for the same talamatul of bracha as well. That's the machlokas. Those were the words in Lamdus that Reb Chaim said 120 years ago. Now, in the next few minutes, I want to understand it with you in Avodas Hashem. What does that mean? And what lesson does it have for us? To understand what Reb Chaim meant, let's ask a very basic question about the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. If the bracha of Shomea Tefillah is the final conclusion of the Bakashos, which it is, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, answer our tefillahs, so then how should the tefillah begin? The tefillah should begin, Shema Tefillah Seinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my tefillah. Why does it begin, Shema Kolenu? So the Gra answers, and the Gra says, because it's such a beautiful yisod, the Gra is quoted as saying, that Shema Kolenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my call, hear my cry, is after one finishes all of one's bakashos in the morning, or any tefillah, a person, if they're really feeling like they're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they're really feeling that sense of Shvisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, there should be a sense that there's something more than just words that I want to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something deeper. There's the call. There's the cry of my neshama. The bracha of Shema Koleinu is a redactic of all of the brachos because it's a new form of all of the previous bakashos. All of the previous bakashos were done in words. The bracha of Shema Koleinu is a tefillah in call. It's a tefillah in crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The cry of one's neshama. I think what the Gra is saying fits beautifully what Reb Chaim had said. It's Kailo Kol HaBrachos. It includes all the brachos because it's all of the bakashos, but in a new form. Not in words, but in the cry. When do we use the term kol? We use it for the bracha for shofar. L'shmoa kol shofar. To hear the kol of shofar. What is the kol shofar? Where does the shofar come from? It comes from the neshama. Of course, Rosh Hashanah, which is the birthday of man, we go back to the source of everything, the source of his neshama. Shema Koleinu, that's how our salvation explained. Shema Koleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my call. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I try to say things in words, but there's something deeper. There's the call of my neshama. And that's something that's deeper. And it's a repeat of every single one of the bakashos. It's not just stam, a conclusion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Kabbalah Tefillah. It's the moment in which we're ready to end the supplications, the recognition that at the end of the day, there are words that can't entirely capture it. There's something that's deeper. Are you guys familiar with this idea that there's something deeper than words? You know, malachim don't talk. Malachim sing. Malachim sing, they don't talk. By the way, that's why in Hasidus we sing Kedusha, because Kedusha is not something that the Malachim say. Kedusha is something that the Malachim sing. They say that the Balatanya held that it's better to sing Nigunim without words as opposed to words. It's a big machlokus, if you will, within the world of Hasidus versus in the world of yeshivas. Rav Baruch Ber was a big menagin, but he held strongly that one should sing particularly the words from Sifrei Kodesh and Chazal. And the Baal HaTanya held that when one sings, one should sing without words. Why? Because what L'chura Rav Baruch Ber makes so much sense. Why? I always wondered as a kid, why do Hasidim sing without words? You should say the words. But the answer is that Malachim don't use words. Malachim use notes. Because notes are a higher form of expression than human speech. By the way, Aaron Soloveitchik said, Sal used to like to say over this idea that the Baal HaTanya says that Nigun without words is a higher madriga. And Aaron Soloveitchik had a quip. He had a punchline, which was, if you think about it, extremely, extremely profound. Kavod to the great Gon and Tzaddik, I'll even say it the way he would speak. He said, the Baal HaTanya says like that. He said, and I say, a nigun without a nigun, that's the highest madriga. So it sounds like a Litvisha joke. And I say a nigun. What Rav Aaron was saying is something extremely profound. What Rav Aaron was saying is, and I say, the nigun without a nigun, there's a song inside everyone's soul. You don't even have to be singing a song to have that song. That's what Rav Aaron was saying. He was saying that his soul is singing without singing. That's a very, very, very profound idea. Nachzor l'inyaneinu, Rabbosai. The message of this Yisod from Reb Chaim, that Shema Koleinu is Kol El Kol HaBrachos, is to ask ourselves, when it comes to our tefillah, is our tefillah a tefillah that is about words? Or are we really, really accessing Shema Koleinu? Are we really, really accessing the call of the neshama? And this is not, of course, a Litvisha Torah. Many of you have heard that the Baal Shem Tov's Chusa Yogen Aleinu was Yom HaKippurim, and the Hasidim saw that the Baal Shem Tov was in a dour state. Now, he felt, it seemed like he felt that there was a terrible Gzar Din in Shemayim. And then for 10 minutes around the Ila time, the Baal Shem Tov was quiet, and then he started off with a fantastic simcha. And it was clear that the Gzar Din had been erased. And after Yom HaKippur, the Talmidim came to him and said to him, Rebbe, what changed? What changed? 45 minutes ago, an hour ago, there was a terrible Gzar Din, it seemed. And then you start off with a great simcha. Baal Shem Tov said you didn't notice. It was a poor peasant boy who came in the back. And this boy had to leave Cheder when he was four years old. He hadn't even finished learning how to read. Do you know that 350 years ago, there were many, many, forget about women, there were many, many men who didn't know how to read. They had to go out to work. This boy had to go out really young. His father passed away at so young. And all he learned was Kamatz Aleph, Ah, Kamatz Beis, Ah, Kamatz Gimel, Ga. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to say the last words. Now he was 15 years old, and he comes in right before Nila. He doesn't know how to daven. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you put these letters together for me? And could that be my tefillah? Said the Baal Shem Tov to his Talmidim, our high kavanos were absolutely nothing compared to that tefillah of that boy. That boy whose sense of Shema Kolein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't hear my tefillah my words. Hear my call. You put together the letters. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put it together. That sense of being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know the words or how to say, but you put them together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my call. That requires a little bit of time for a person to feel that they're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Kolein. Lomdus and Avodas Hashem, they're Hainu Hach. This Yisoid from Reb Chaim. This is Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem. Shema Koleinu is Kol El Kol HaBrachos. It includes all the brachos. It's a Havan of how to understand the Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, because Reb Chaim understood what Avodas Hashem is. Avodas Hashem is that sense of being in front of Kudsha Brichu alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not only stop being alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sense that there's a greater call that we have that most people don't even realize that they have. Most religious people don't even realize that they have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shamayim to be able to be in touch with that call and to be able to come closer and closer to Him, not only to serve Him on the outside, but to serve Him on the inside as well. Have a great Shabbat.